Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So this week, we're going to spend a little bit of time really just talking about logistics and just kind of some basic things that we need to do in order to really enact the things we learned last week. Some of the things that I took away, really just thinking about last week, was that small groups make multiplication possible. Without small groups, it's not really possible for us to grow and move in the way that we would like to. One of the things Christina said was if we don't pray big and we don't plan big, then we cannot expect big. And so let's open up our Bibles. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. And we're going to read verse 6 through 8. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8. Everybody there?
You sluggard.
Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8. Go ahead, Jamel.
Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest.
All right. So why would I use that in this discussion? Why do y'all think I use that in this discussion?
Preparation.
Why else?
You need to be a leader to do it.
You need to be a leader to do it. What else?
Get your mind right.
Get your mind right. And finally, whoever noticed, it takes a whole lot of ants to accomplish something big. But they're very diligent. Ants are amazingly diligent creatures. Have you ever stared at an ant and just watched it? Some of us are weird like that. I have. I've stared at an ant and I've watched how it will go. It will take one grain of dirt, sand, or whatever, take it to the ant pile, dump it on the pile, and jump right back in line to do the same thing over and over and over again. And yet, you come out the house the next morning, and you step in a rather large ant pile. Why? Why is that? Because they were consistent and they were working hard to accomplish a goal. When we talk about the Jethro principle, the things that the Angel and Christina shared last week, really all of that boils down to we have a huge goal. We have a huge mission and vision to seek, save, and send, and to create churches and mobilize the next generation. And really, that's not possible without all of us buying in and having the mindset of the ant to say, you know what? If we're going to reap the harvest that God has promised when it comes to saying the harvest is plentiful, then we got to be the workers. Because the Bible doesn't say the harvest is few or small. The Bible says the laborers are few. And so we have a responsibility as small group leaders and people that aspire to be small group leaders to understand what exactly does it mean when we say, hey, when is your small group gathering? Hey, what is your evangelistic gathering? When is your D group? What are y'all talking about in D group? And so that's really what we're going to focus on. And then we're going to have a bulk of time to really talk about follow up on the homework, which is why I asked if you did it, as well as opening up the forum and opportunity for us to ask questions and have the opportunity for us to learn from each other. All right. And so one of the things that this commentary says here about, you know, Proverbs 6 in this leadership is a John Maxwell Leadership Bible. It says ants, attitude of initiative, nature of integrity, thirsty for industry and source of insight. Ants. And really, that's something that we can embody if we're going to be responsible for disseminating information, if we're going to be responsible for helping people move along, and if we're going to be responsible for seeing the overall mission and vision accomplished for God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
And so one thing I wanted to hear from you guys, is when we say small groups, what do we mean? What do you think we mean when we say small groups? Huh?
Your Bible talk?
Okay. Anybody think anything? Go ahead, Tim.
D group.
All right. Pete?
Small group of intentional relationships.
Small group of intentional relationships. Jamel?
Church broken up into different ministries.
Yeah. And so from a semantic standpoint, when we want to move in a specific direction, we all got to agree on what we're saying, right? That's a big part of moving forward. If I'm playing a game and I call a play and nobody knows the play I called, how effective will that play be? Completely ineffective. We're running in totally different directions. And so when we say small group, that's the language that we're moving towards, a small group. If you're in campus, we have our Bible talk. We don't call it Bible talk. We call it candid conversations. And so our small groups are really, they're our Bible talks. They're our family groups is what we traditionally call them. But when we say small groups, that's what we're talking about. Those are the groups we're thinking about, we're talking about when we're asking you, and we want feedback about your small groups. That's who we're asking about, is those people in your Bible talk or your family group. All right? And it's the circle of people that you're with for your evangelistic gathering. So when we say evangelistic gathering, what do we mean? That's why I asked the question. Because everybody got a different answer, right? Your evangelistic gathering is your actual activity. All right. So when we say what's your evangelistic gathering, that is your activity. Your small group is the people. All right. Your small group is the people. Your evangelistic gathering is your activity. And so for the unmarried people and young married people, you may have more frequent evangelistic gatherings. Right. For campus, we get together every week. A couple of times a week. That is usually that's an evangelistic gathering, because what an evangelistic gathering is an opportunity for us to evangelize. And so Candid Conversations is our weekly evangelistic gathering, because our hope is that we're not sitting around looking at a bunch of other disciples. The hope and the plan and the expectation is there's at least one person that's not already a part of our family that is coming, and we're able to share with them, bring them in, help them on their journey. And so when we talk about evangelistic gatherings, that's what we're talking about. For the married people, evangelistic gatherings may not be as frequent, but they need to have some frequency, right? And so that means if you haven't had a monthly gathering, it might be time to revisit what does it look like for us to have a monthly gathering, all right? In evangelistic gatherings, I want to break it down as simple as possible for everybody, for us to make sure we all have a common ground. So what are some essential elements of an evangelistic gathering? What are some essential elements of an evangelistic gathering? You said what?
Clear goal.
Clear goal. Same day. You said what? Disciples.
Activity.
Who said consistency?
Me.
Consistency. Participation. Have y'all ever had those small group gatherings where the same two people talking the whole time?
Yep.
Is that effective?
No,
because it goes back to what we talked about, the same goal. If the goal is for people to be attracted to what you have going on, but it's only two people talking the whole time, what does that convey?
People not engaged.
People not engaged.
Lame.
Yeah. This is not lit. Tina?
Yeah, I know.
People that are visiting don't feel comfortable to join in. If they see people who are there every week not joining in, not saying anything, they're probably not going to be that likely to speak up. This is a new environment for them. Sometimes it's new people. They may know one person. And so, disciples need to speak up. We got to have the same goal, consistency, participation. What else? What else is something that should be taking place in your evangelistic gathering? Huh?
The
Welcome in place. JC said fellowship.
Food.
Discussion. I said food first time.
I'm gonna put food in the parentheses because I'm not feeding these jokers every Wednesday. You know, when y'all have once a month gatherings, y'all can get the food. We cool. What else? What else?
Outward focus.
How often do we have situations where we have an evangelistic gathering that's supposed to be evangelistic, and we end up only talking to other disciples? But as we lead small groups, we got to set the tone and say, that's why we did the skit at the beginning. That's a part of maturing and training. We got to set the tone and say, hey, I noticed you were over there, you know, playing. I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to, you know, did you notice we had like 5 guys here today? Did you connect with those guys? Oh, no, I thought you did. Well, this is a great opportunity for you to meet them, too. That's where those of us who are used to doing this, take somebody who's not used to doing this and take them under our wing and say, hey, this is what the expectation is. Right? What else, JC?
Because of
what
Titus 2 say, I think we need some sauce.
Could you elaborate?
All right, so what I mean by that, like Pete said, for it not to be lame, for it to be an environment that's like, okay, this is lit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can see myself coming here, even inviting my other friend to come with me. So.
All right. Our focus. But bringing it back. But how many of these things are like second nature to you? You've been doing it so long, it's kind of second nature to you. Raise your hand, Derek. For many of us, these things are not second nature. But guess what? If we're going to mobilize, if we're going to move our groups, they have to become second nature. They have to become things that we're used to doing. Even the follow-up. Tina, in Tina's skit, in her group, you know, they were a little aggressive, like, you know, all in the bubble. It was in Jasmine's bubble there. But it's really important for us to understand follow-through and follow-up. Because if 5 people come and nobody gets their number, assuming somebody else got their number, what's going to happen? Nobody got their number. But then another thing that we see happen is we give them our number and they're like, yeah, I'll text you.
Right.
It sounds good. But more often than not, they either forget, they're not thinking about it, because they're just mean people. But for us, it's like, okay, how can we join this person on their journey? How can we move them along and help them see they may not even know what they need? A lot of times they don't even know that I need help with my journey.
Right.
They just see a Bible study or a wine tasting or whatever married people put out there, you know. You know, a charcuterie, you know. But they just came to eat and maybe hang out with the 1 or 2 people they know. But we know we're doing this because we want them to see the glory of God. We know we're doing this because we want to have an opportunity, an avenue for them to connect and to see there's something better. There's more opportunities out there. And so Ephesians 5:16, write that down. Ephesians 5:16, make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Let's have a mindset of, you know, our evangelistic gatherings need to be consistent. They need to have the same goal. They need to have participation. They need to have the welcoming environment, the hospitality, because the days are evil. People are seeking things that we have to offer, and we just want to make sure we do our best to facilitate that. And then it should never really be a point where somebody's visiting and they look alone.
Right.
At any point. Church on Sunday is an evangelistic gathering. After church, you got all week to set up time with your friends, with other disciples that are in the church. You got all week to figure something out about that. Sunday, let's make it a point to be outwardly focused. Let's make it a point. If you got people in your group that don't know what outwardly focused means, and if you're in here and you don't know what outwardly focused means, it simply means let's not focus on what I want, what I need, and what I got to get done. Right. Let me focus on what's happening outside of me. Is that a simple enough explanation of what outward focus is?
Yes.
All right. And so we're moving through this. But the other thing that we need to talk about when it talks of, comes down to the small things and being clear about the small things is D group. Does anybody not have consistent D groups?
We've been having them every week.
Okay. Few people. And so, what is the function of D group? What is D group? Roland, what's D group?
It's where you're able to come together and really be open about your life, share your life with a more spiritual or older brother, more sister.
Okay. All right. Jamel, what's D-group?
I think it's the sharpening session. I think it's the point where you get away from, you know, everybody else in the group, and it's a more intimate session to where you can say things that you couldn't say in a big group and really, like, you know, sharpen the people that you're in that circle with.
Okay.
Build off each other.
Misty?
Yeah, I think checks and balances spiritually.
Okay. JC?
I think D-group is where, especially the person who's leading the group, where it's like a funnel. The very things that they're getting from the leaders of the church, they funnel that down to us so that we can understand the mission and the goal and move forward.
Yes. Great job. So. So, I think one of the things that's going to be important for us to also recognize is that we're shifting D group. What D group is one, is an opportunity for us to have those close relationships, to be sharpened, to grow, to build. D group is also an opportunity to pray together. D group is an opportunity, just as JC put it, to funnel the information. Like, if we're saying something on Sunday, the goal is at some point in your D group during that week, you need to be saying the stuff we say on Sunday. Like, if we're talking about the ministry tree is coming up, right, fellas?
Right.
Right, fellas?
Right.
Thank you. The ministry tree is coming up. So in your D groups, you should be talking about what?
The ministry tree coming
up. Because very little happens during the Sunday morning in announcements. People hear announcements and it goes right over their head. So one thing that D group is not, if it's every once in a while, okay. But D group cannot be weekly confession times that run for an hour and a half, 2 hours. You should have your relationships, people that you're like, if you need to talk about stuff, make sure you're talking about it. I'm not saying don't talk about sin. But if you wait 7 days to talk about what you did 7 days ago, then that's a problem. And so one of the things I've come to realize is it can be easy for us to not like D group, because D group turns into, I just spent 2 hours and we all got to two sisters or two brothers talking about all they sin. And now what I just said D group is not. And so I want us to be clear, like, D group is not a book club. D group is not a weekly confession gathering for 2 hours. D group is not a place to talk about all the other stuff that the church is not talking about. And it's not the time for us to just be a country club and just hang out. D group is specifically for us to move forward because we're relying on people that lead D groups to be able to move their group and to be able to communicate what is the issue. If you got brothers in your D group that's not thinking about the men's retreat, that's not registering for the men's retreat, that's not planning on going to the men's retreat, that's where you hash that out. You figure out, like, what is the heart behind it? What's going on? All right? 2 Timothy 2, 2. I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who also be qualified to teach others." Paul's method and his perspective is what we expect of y'all. Paul said, "I'm going to tell you something. Timothy, you're going to tell them something. And then they're going to tell other people something." that's just others. That says others.
Oh yeah.
But don't focus on that. But it's the same way for us. We have after midweek every week, D group with some of the leaders. What me or Angel talk about with them, the expectation is for them to take it to their groups and for their groups to move based on what we've talked about. That is what it's for. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about having consistent D groups and being effective. And then finally, you have to prioritize your training. You have to prioritize your training. When we talk about 2 Timothy 2:2, that is really about, are you maturing? Are you training in your reliability? Are you being trained and being consistent? Are you being discipled? Are you allowing people to help you so that you can be a more effective small group leader? Are you investing in your growth? Those are all things that are important when we talk about what we need and expect in this room. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.